Blog Talk Radio.
Bless the Lord at all times, and his praise shall continually be in my mouth. For this is the day that the Lord has made, and we will rejoice and be glad in it. Aren't you so glad today that the Lord has allowed you to be here today? Mm-hmm. Oh, I am so happy, happy, happy that I'm amongst the living. Mm-hmm. Yes, God is good. So greetings to you, 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 and you. This is your pastor, G.W. Achiever Porter, coming to you from Orlando, Florida, and thereabouts, the cities that are surrounding it. We're coming to you wherever you are, whatever city, state, country, or county you are in. We just greet you today, letting you know that we love you. We really love you. We really, really do love you. Yes, we do. So call us if you want to just chat with us for a few moments and let us know how you like the broadcast or something you may desire for us to deal with, talk about, or something. You know, we can talk about it because the name of this broadcast is what? Time to talk about it. So we will talk about it, you know. Now, I don't know if it'll be a solution that you may like or not. Now, I don't know how you will feel about some of the solutions we may come up with, but we will talk about it, okay? Mm-hmm. Yes, we will. So call 347-857-3925. You can call that number and do what? Dial the one, punch the one, and you will get us, okay? And remember now, Jesus loves you, and we do too. Here is.
Praise the Lord, praise the Lord. This is the day that the Lord has made, and we shall rejoice and be glad in it, giving God all honor, glory, and praise that is due unto his holy name. Father, as we come before you, Lord, asking, Father God, for forgiveness of any sin that we have committed against you in thought, deeds, actions, knowingly and unknowingly, Lord, Father, we ask you for your forgiveness. And as you forgive us, Lord, Father, let us forgive those that trespass against us, Lord. Father, as I lay my hand upon this prayer list, Lord, Father, you know each and every person, name by name, from the very first person, Father, we put on this list, Lord, Father. Father, we know, Lord, Father, how much you have touched, how much you have healed, Lord, Father. Father, we thank you. We glorify you. We magnify you. We come before you, holding the Jarvis family. Father, holding the Martin family right now. On their passing, Lord, Father God, of their loved ones, Lord, Father. Touch them, Lord, Father. Touch Greg and Desiree, Lord, Father. Strengthen them today, Lord, Father, on the passing of their mom, Lord. Oh, Father, we know, Lord, Father, just even losing a loved one, Lord, Father, the heartache, Lord, Father, and we're thanking you right now for giving them peace and comfort, Lord, Father, for you say you will not leave us comfortless, Lord, Father, and all those others upon our prayer list, Father, that lost loved ones, Lord, Father. We ask you, Father, to continue to strengthen them. Give them the peace and the comfort, Lord, Father. Father, you say to be absent in the body, Lord, Father, is to be present with you, Lord, Father. And we thank you, Lord, Father. We thank you as you continue to guide us, protect us, and heal us, Lord. Father, we hold to you, Lord, Father, Chloe Addison, right now, in the name of Jesus, Lord, Father. Father, continue to touch her, Lord, Father. Father, we're looking for that praise report, Lord, Father, for the CAT scan, Lord, Father, that she had done, Lord, Father. We're praying to you right now, Lord, Father, for Brenda right now that's in the hospital, Lord, Father. Touch her right now in the name of Jesus, Lord. Touch Miss Kim Merchant right now, Lord, Father, that's also in the hospital, Lord. Touch Pastor Deborah's son and daughter-in-law right now. In the name of Jesus, Lord Father, we thanking you for touching them. We thanking you right now, Lord Father, for your will being done in their lives, Lord Father. Father, if they don't know you as their Lord and Savior, Lord Father. Father, we are praying today that you place someone there to lead them, Lord Father, to you right now in the name of Jesus, Lord Father. Father, we continue to pray for Juan Carrera right now, Lord Father, for healing, Lord Father, of his brain right now in the name of Jesus, Lord Father. Father, we speak healing right now, Lord Father, not only to the body, Lord Father. Oh, Father God, touch the hearts and touch the minds, Lord Father God. Heal spirit man today, Lord Father. We thanking you, Lord Father, for we take nothing for granted, Lord. We thank you, Lord Father, even for this broadcast, Lord Father, that are able to touch, Lord Father, others, Lord. Heal them, Lord Father, by the word, Lord Father. Deliver them, Lord Father, by the word that they're hearing, Lord Father. Continue to give the listeners, Lord Father, ear to hear, Lord Father, and a heart to receive, Lord Father. Let them not, Lord Father, be afraid, Lord Father, to call in, Father, to ask for prayer, Father, to even be led to you, Lord Father. Father, we cancel the assignment of the enemy right now over them right now in the name of Jesus. Thanking you right now, Lord Father God, for peace within their heart and mind right now in the name of Jesus, Lord. I plead the blood of Jesus over this broadcast, Lord, canceling all assignments, Lord Father, that will try to hinder this broadcast or anyone on this broadcast listening or speaking, Lord Father. We render it null and void right now in the name of Jesus. And Father, we thank you for healing, deliverance, Lord Father, being in the midst right now, Lord Father. I ask you, Father, to decrease my apostle and my deacon, Lord Father, as they bring forth the word. Father, we thank you for just having your way, Lord. We thank you, Lord Father, for using this broadcast to show forth your glory, Lord Father. Father, we just say thank you. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen and amen.
Praise the Lord. Praise the Lord. And Father, in the name of Jesus, we send forth the word to Yerisha Merchant this morning. Father, that you touch her body. Lord, touch her from the crown of her head to the soles of her feet, Father. Lord, in the name of Jesus, touch the driver where they were hit in the school bus, God. They were accidented with the school bus. Father, they are hurting, Lord. They were in the hospital care on last night. But Father, today, we asking that you touch her. In Jesus' name, remember her, God. Oh, God, remember both of them. I don't know the other lady, but remember her, too. In the name of Jesus, God, and we thank you. We glorify you for it right now. As healing will touch their body. In Jesus' name, amen, amen. We thank God for the prayers of the righteous, sister. It said, availeth much. All right, here's your word for the day. It is difficult to be grateful and gripey at the same time. It is hard to be thankful and touchy at the same instant. It is impossible to be prayerful and pessimistic at the same moment. Oh, shall we tell you that again? It is difficult to be grateful and gripey at the same time. It is hard to be thankful and touchy at the same time, instant. It is impossible to be prayerful and pessimistic at the same moment. Well, govern yourselves accordingly. Which one are you? Amen. Which one are you? Now, we thank God for Deacon Mike here today. We thank God for
Sister Diane here today. We thank God for her also. Bless God. Those all the visitors we have today. We had a lot of them the other week, didn't we? Bless God. Ah, oh, glory to God. But we thank God for them being here, and we most of all thank God for you. Now, if you have something to say, just say it about something we are talking about. All right, you have liberty to call and say something about it, you know, like that. Whether you like it, you don't get it, or whatever. We'll try to break it down to its common denominator, okay, that you may get it. Ah,
yeah,
and you know what? We thank God for our sister Nessie Ritter. We ask you to touch that young lady, God. She's a diligent worker of God. She loves God, and she's a hard worker. Yes, she is. And we thank God for her being over here stateside.
Yes,
we
Lord.
Thank God for being over here stateside with her, with us. I'm talking about with her. With us, bless God. We thank God for her. And you, of course, we thank God for you, wherever you are. We thank God for you today. Just listening. You know, it's a pleasure to know that there is someone on the other end listening. You could be doing anything, can't you? You could be anywhere, anytime, who knows? You could be at the movies or somewhere. Bless God. Amen. Hallelujah. God is good, isn't he? Let me tell you, God is so good to me. Doesn't matter how this body feels, he's still good to me. I am making it personal. He is good to me. Ooh, and I appreciate him too. Yes, I do. Really, do you appreciate God? Oh, yes, I do. Mm-hmm.
Don't even take him for granted.
Don't take him for granted. I don't take anything for granted. No. Don't take people for granted.
No.
You know, you just don't know. Hallelujah.
Know.
Now,
you.
We just tell you, be careful today as you go to and fro. Watch out. You know, be very watchful, you know, and discerning. Be very discerning, too. Right? Because there's some boogers out there.
Yes,
Lord knows it is.
Yes.
Some people out there that's really just gone. They're just gone, you know. That's the way the world is right now. You know, people listen to lies. People listen to anything today that cause them to do evil. See? So what do you say is happening? The enemy is loose. He on the rampage, and he don't care who he destroys. He don't care what age you are, what color you are. He don't care how much money you got. He doesn't care about anything. All he knows is destroy any way he can. He will even make you destroy yourself. See? Yes, that is so. Why he's so evil. And you have really got to have a discerning spirit today. Yes, you do. Amen. All right, we're going to talk to you today. We're going to talk about something important to everybody, you know, something important to everybody. Now, as much as we talk about we don't have unity in the body of Christ today as we should. As the body, the Bible tells us many times about unity and us doing things together, fellowshipping, and so on. We don't want to do it. But there is one little thing that you forget, huh? And remember, Adam experienced it when God made Adam in the garden. He experienced it. And one thing in particular, and God is still saying it today. He's talking about it. He's talking about it. Now, that's what we're going to talk about today, huh? I'm going to go back to it. I'll get back to it. But let me give you some ground where I'm coming from today. The 11th chapter of Numbers. Numbers, the 11th chapter. We're going to talk about it. It came like this. This is where this chapter begins. And when the people complained, it displeased the Lord. Now, if you heard that, do you want to displease the Lord? When you just listen to that. And when the people complained, it displeased the Lord, and the Lord heard it. Now, if you think God don't hear you complaining, he do. Don't care what you complain about, he still hear you. He don't like complaining. This is what the scriptures tell me in many places. It tells you about you complaining people, you know, complain about everything, you know. And his anger was kindled, and the fire of the Lord burnt among them and consumed them that were in the uttermost part of the camp. He was really angry, wasn't he? When the fire consumed them, whew, I know I don't want to make him angry, do you? No, 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 I want to displease him. And the people cried unto Moses, and when Moses prayed unto the Lord, the fire was quenched. See, now that was the answer all the time, how to keep that from happening. Talk to Moses, the leader. See, they cried unto Moses, and they told Moses about it. So Moses did what? He went to the Lord, and when he did so, the fire quenched. Okay? Now, there's no fire. They're burning you now. So now what are you going to do? What are you going to do? This fire stopped, and you now you're so high, angry, it made God, don't you? It was so angry till he burnt some of them up, just got rid of them. You see what I'm saying? Now, you would think you wouldn't complain no more, would you? Now, tell me one thing. Something must be wrong with our brain cells or something, because the Bible go on, and he called the name of the place Deborah, because the fire of the Lord burnt among them, and the mixed multitude that was among them fell a-lusting. They went into lusting. They went from one extreme to the other. Now, you see how the world is, and the church world more especially, how they are going a-lusting. Now, lusting is more than sex. Now, when y'all hear lusting, all y'all think about is sex. Show you where your mind is. And the children of Israel also wept again and said, who shall give us flesh to eat? There they go. See what I'm talking about? Now, they ain't happy with God fed them. You see? We are never satisfied with what God has given us. You know you ain't satisfied. If he give you a house, you want a house like Sister Mary down the block got. You get a car, you want a car like Buddy Joe got. If you get a husband, you want a husband like Beyonce got. If you get children, you want them to look like God knows who. You're never satisfied. And the women with long hair, they want to cut it. And the women with short hair, they want to weave it. Never satisfied. You see, people get on the getting plastic surgery. They're not satisfied with the nose. They're not satisfied with the, I want lips like them black girls got. And they get the lips pumped up. And then now they want eyes like, who knows, China eyes. And they get their eyes all slashed. And they want something that they don't have. And they already got it, but they want something else that somebody else got. We are never satisfied. Hmm? Well, my children ain't like my sister children. Well, my son, I want my son to do this like her son doing. Well, that's not in his DNA. Why you want to make him do something he don't want to do? Because of what you like and what you want to change things. And then you got them other nuts that's around there. They got a little girl, and the little girl, I think, Mama, I'm a boy. And you want to take them to the doctor and get them changed to a boy. You crazy. Hmm? Never satisfied. You see what I'm saying? We always want something that somebody else got. All right? And it's not right. Do you think that's right? That is not right. God made each man according to his plan and his purpose. What he purposed for you. Do you see what I'm saying? You didn't have nothing to do with that. He made you according to his plan and his purpose, what he wants you to do. And the people to recognize you in who he made you to be. See, you recognize, here come, this is Joe Buddy. I use that name. Here goes Joe Buddy. And now Joe Buddy ain't Joe Buddy no more. He ain't Buddy. See, done changed himself, his appearance. Now Joe Buddy ain't got a man haircut. He got a woman wig on. And, you know, around here
Betty
with Betty Joe or something. You done, he done changed his name, and he done changed his appearance, got us all kind of operations on his face, and got on high heel shoes now. And that's not the Joe Buddy you knew. See? Now he's somebody else. See? And you're going, well, what happened to Joe Buddy? I ain't seen him in a while. Child, didn't you know that's Betty Joe now? See? People not happy with nothing that they have. Do you think God is satisfied? No. If he was not satisfied, he not satisfied with you complaining and you don't like the way he already made you. Now, grant you now, if we done overstuffed ourselves and blowed up out of shape now, that's your fault. Thank God had nothing to do with that. You the one overate. And ain't everything in sight. So hey, you can complain all you want there. Okay? Now, that is not, you ain't changing the course. You just making yourself a new course here to ride on. Okay? And God's not happy with us complaining and wanting everything else somebody else got. Mm-hmm. We ain't never satisfied. Listen what he said in the fifth verse. We remember the fish. Now you want to know who shall give us flesh to eat. Who? Now, what are you going to ask the man of God that? Huh? Who? Huh? We remember the fish which we did eat in Egypt. Now you want to go back in the past. Huh? Because you can't see nothing. Now, what you had in the past wasn't good as what you had right then.
Amen.
But yet, you cannot be happy in the right now. See? Now, if God tell you, now faith is the substance of things hoped for, the evidence of things not seen. So the things that you don't see, you won't. Because you see somebody else got it. It ain't in your house. It ain't in your garage or wherever it sits. Mm-hmm. We just ain't happy. Then you start referring back to, oh, you know, the good old days. We used to have a lot of pig feet and chitlins, you know, and we ought to have some of them again. We go back there. If you wanted that, you should have stayed back there. You can still find some somewhere in these stores now if you still want that, okay? And cucumbers and melons and the leeks and the onions and the garlic, all these things, they started coming, bringing up. But God, we want that back. We want, you know what? It would have been something if God flew them right back to Egypt. Sent them right back to Egypt. He done took them all out. He done brought them out, trying to set them free. And they talking about what they had back there. You wish you was back in bondage? How many of you today wish you were back in bondage? Mm-hmm. Now, you've been set free by the word of God. Now, I guarantee you ain't going to like everything that God has put before you. But you'll be all right. You see what I'm saying? You'll be fine. If you just thank God for what he's already done for you, okay? And he'll make things come around for you that you may lack, and you may enjoy that which you already had. So they kept complaining. They still now, they getting on Moses now, getting on him. What are they saying now? Yeah, now. But now soul is dried away. There's nothing at all because beside this manna before I. They didn't like what. See, now they asked God for food before, didn't they?
Yeah.
And he gave them manna from on high. But now they don't like the manna. Are you like that? You're never satisfied. But nothing that you get. If somebody come up and you say, oh, thank God, God is going to bless me with some money, and somebody come up there and give you a dollar, okay? It reminds me of I didn't know for sure about a person wanting me to send an offering into a foreign place. And I didn't want my money flying around somewhere. I don't know where it is. It's hard to get already. And I sent them, I just sent them $5 to see if it's going to get there. You know, the right place. Was that the right place? Well, let me tell you, the people laid me out by that $5 and carried on, just like these here Israelites did. They were carrying on something fierce, and I told them, I said, now you better thank God the $5 got there, because I was going to send some more, but since you have that attitude, I'm not sending anything. Now, that's what I did, okay? Praise God. But because I didn't want to hear you hollering and carrying on about it, I want to know, is it getting there? You see, because, you know, things happen in them places like that, and it may not never get to you, or all you could have told me, I received it, thank you. Okay? With that thanks, you get some more. But no, you block your own blessing. You see what I'm saying? By not being happy, you thought I should have done more. Okay? Well, now, how do I know you was going to get that? I didn't know the way things were going over in them parts. Well, praise the Lord. Amen. But then, God is good. You know, God is real good. So, you know, you do what you can at the time. You know, that's my way of thinking. You ain't going to go back all over that. And they all had manna to eat. And the manna was as coriander seed, and the color thereof as the color of valium. I don't know what that color that is. And the people went about and gathered it and ground it in mills, or beat it in a mortar, and baked it in pans, made cakes of it, and the taste of it was as the taste of fresh oil. Well, I don't know how fresh oil tastes. But all I know is at least it was something to eat. You see, God was giving them some daily ration. You see what I'm saying? See how ungrateful people are? And when the dew fell upon the camp in the night, the manna fell upon it. Now, listen, God was doing that. Moses wasn't doing it. God was the one giving them that manna. All right. And David was fussing with him. And now he all stressed out. Hmm? You see how you make your pastor stressed out? If your pastor preach one sermon, there he go. Same old. I don't want to hear it. Well, there's somebody in there that needs that word. You should think of that in that terms. You understand? Because it doesn't have to be for you. If you can't use it, leave it alone and shut up. That's what you should do. So here they are, the 10th verse. Then Moses heard the people weep throughout their families, every man in the door of his tent. And the anger of the Lord was kindled greatly. Moses also was displeased. God mad, Moses mad too. Now, anything like that happened. See, you done made everybody mad. Do you get it? You see that? Do you see what you did? You're going to stress out everybody because you are ungrateful. You are not thanking God for what he was doing, what he gave you to eat. He gave you some good stuff to eat. But you up there talking about the garlic and the leeks and the onions and stuff that you had to eat before and the fish. That's all you was eating then. You wasn't eating a steak one night, lobster one night. You got this, that, or the other, pork chops one. You ain't had no variety. You were eating, they were eating the same stuff. But they thought that was good. But what God was giving them straight from heaven, they did not want that. Do you understand? See how people are? The church world today not happy with the message the preacher preaches. And if they pray, they got to start, stripping the prayer down. And, well, they should have said it this way. They should have said it that way. Listen, they said it the way God gave it to them to say. You see? Now, if God wanted change, God would change that minister's way of speaking or saying these things so that it made to please you. But he ain't trying to please you. He's trying to get the job done to the person that he's praying for. You see? Trying to get something help for them people. And you going, doing what? Analyzing. You know, you great analyzers. We have a church full of analyzers. They analyze everything the preachers say. Everything if they pray, it is the prayer warriors. They analyze that. Do we ever stop?
No.
Well, this ain't right, and that ain't right. Listen, maybe the people are speaking, doing whatever according to their knowledge and their ability, and this is what God is saying anyway, that he give every man according to his own ability. And that is the way they talk. That is the way they use the words, the understanding that they have. But it, with God, it's translated as it go up to God because Jesus is the intercessor that do what? Intercedes for us and carry the word up to God. You see? He carried that word up because the Bible says we don't know how to pray. When we pray, so therefore he has to interpret and send it on to God. Because God can't understand what we're talking about. The Holy Ghost understands, see, because that is what we have that helps us. The Holy Ghost go before him and tell him what it is, what we're talking about. Because we don't know all the time what we talk. We just talk. Sometimes I'd love to know how God get it, how it sound to God when it leave us, because some of us sound real crazy. See, praise God. Amen. And Moses said unto the Lord, wherefore hast thou afflicted the servant, and wherefore have I not found favor in thy sight, that thou layest the burden of all this people on me? Yeah, now, how many of you been before God and asked God? God, why I got to carry these people burdens like this? Why is this thing so heavy upon me? He want to know why they coming there bringing this to me, telling me all they trouble about, what they had in Egypt and all that stuff. Say, hey, I was way out here somewhere and they willing wandering around trying to find myself. I don't know what they were doing there. See? And they load me with all this stuff. They flick, God, what did I do? Did I do something wrong? You let me carry all this? Listen here. This 12th verse says, have I conceived all these people? When I read that, I had to laugh to myself. I said, Lord, no. Moses, they must have really plugged and rolled Moses' nerve. I ain't bear not one of you. Not one of you did I bring in this world. Have I conceived all these people? Have I begotten them that thou should say unto me, carry them in thy bosom? As a nursing father beareth the sucking child unto the land which thou swearest unto their father. You put all this burden on me. Do you see what he's saying? Like, I bought these people in the world. You know, that I had these children. You know, see what I'm saying? Now, whence should I have flesh to give unto all these people? Okay, where am I going to get food to feed these people? Huh? I ain't got no grocery store. I ain't got no hogs, pens, chickens, and all them things to give them people something. For they weep unto me, saying, give us flesh that we may eat. Now we're going on down where I want to go, Edmund. I am not able to bear all these people alone. Okay? Hear what he say. I am not able to bear all these people alone. Because it is too heavy for me. You see what I'm saying? I can't do it alone. Now, what I want you to know today, you can't do nothing alone. You're not even alone. You understand? Listen here. Guess what? Adam was alone, and what did God say? It's not good that man should be alone. That's when the realization of being alone came into effect. Came into effect whereby now that he know that now God got to do something about it. See, now he always have an answer. God always have an answer. You understand? He is the answer to all the problems that you have, whether you want to believe it or not. You may not want to hear the answers, but he have an answer, and you may not accept the answer, but he have an answer. You see? And when Moses said that, what did my man say that he said, I can't be all these people alone. Oh, my goodness. Millions of people chippering at the same time, talking about all this and that, and everybody going, that's driving me crazy. I'm about to be stressed out all the way. I'm going to need a paddy wagon to come get me. Hey, you know, you hear me now. Praise God. I can't do it. And he said, and if thou deal thus with me, kill me. Now that's being stressed. That being stressed, God, listen, I can't bear this here. Now you gave me this burden, but I can't bear this. Kill me. Just get me on out of way, out of this here, because I can't take all this. Have you ever got that way? Your troubles have piled on you so much and so much and so much, you just don't see how you can get out of. You see how you can solve the problems. You don't see how you going to make it. You don't see anything. All you know is this is just too much for me. Lord, I can't bear my burdens alone. I can't take it no more. You ever got there? I know you have. Somebody's got there. I've got there myself. I've told God my own self sometimes, Lord, I just can't take no more of this. I'm to the end of my rope, Lord. I can't. Now, you know somebody say if you get to the end of the rope, take a knot and tie it and hang yourself.
Jesus.
So that's what some people do. But see, my God prevents me from doing that. I will hold on to the rope and keep swinging until I get rescued. Hello. Amen, you see, because I know that I don't have to be alone. And when I know that I don't have to be alone, that means what? You can't do it all by yourself. Tell yourself that today. You need help. I can't do it alone. I can't do it alone. It's too heavy. Say, just like he said, it's too heavy, Lord. I can't do it. I cannot bear these burdens alone. There's a song out there that says that you cannot bear these burdens alone. Oh, yeah, you know, you remember that. Come on, let's go back with it now. You want to go back with something? Go back to that song. I can't bear these burdens alone. And when it gets so heavy and it looks like there's no answer, you will start singing that song. That you can't bear these burdens alone. And you'll talk to God. Then you don't know you'll be talking. You think you'll be talking to yourself, but you'll be talking to God. Lord, help me, Jesus. Lord, I need.
Yes.
Then you learn how to use the name of Jesus. Lord, help me, Jesus. Lord, these pains in my body. God, I just need your help. Lord, it looks like this is never going to end.
Come
Father,
on.
You told me that it was going to end. Lord, when is it going to end? I can't make it any longer, Lord. Send help, Father. You start saying all those good words. You find them then, don't you? Before, you couldn't find not a word. But when that pain gets you, when them troubles get to load you down, when it look like you're not going to be rescued, all you do is holler out to God, God, help me. I need help. I can't do this by myself. Send help, Lord. Huh? How many pastors out there today, all over, just crying out, Lord, I need your help. I can't bear this burden alone. Send me help, Lord. See, send me real help, Lord. Not somebody that's going to tear me down. Not somebody going to talk about me. Not somebody that's going to berate me. Lord, somebody help me, God. Send me real help, God. People that have genuine concern,
yes,
compassion for me, God. Help, Lord. See, you won't cry to help because you can't do it by yourself. You thought you could get saved by yourself. You thought you could get healed by yourself. But God sends someone that has the words of life to you so that they can speak life into you, into your situation too, so therefore you're not alone. You can't do it alone. Did you get the picture yet? So many trying to do it alone. They want to live by themselves. You know, you live by yourself, something happened to you, nobody don't know, do they? By the time they find out, you be done turned to, what's that stuff, gangrene, everything, whatever you turn to. Your body be done got to be molded and everything else because you're alone. You want to be by yourself. You be by yourself, then you die by yourself, don't you? Nobody come by and knock on the door and say, hey, Mary, are you all right in there? I didn't see you in a couple of days, so I come by to see how you're doing. See, when you're not alone, you got somebody there to see about you, to knock on the door, even if you might have been about to go into a coma, go into some stroke or something. There's somebody that come by, knock on the door, call you, get your day. Praise God. I just remember that. Glory be to God. Thank you, Jesus, for bringing it back. I remembered a good while back the person in my, he's gone on to be with the Lord now, but he was an elder, and one day I say, I'm going by the elder's house, and I went by the house, and the front door was open, and the screen was
locked, but the front door was open. Nobody answered. Nobody. I knocked. I went round to windows and knocked and knocked and knocked. No, and called. Nobody answered. So I said, well, I think this is their bedroom here. Let me go over here. I went over there and went there. The man was having, I don't know whether it was a stroke or something, and he was just in there, and I kept calling his name, and he couldn't answer at first. I kept calling until I got him come around, and it took a while on to that window to get him to come around. See? And then he came out, and he said, oh, my God, I think he said like he was going into a coma or something. He's going into something where he couldn't do nothing for himself or hear. And when I kept calling him and calling him, say, okay, you can do it. Come on, get up. You can do it. You can do it. And he got up, come to the front door, to the screen, and unlocked it. And he said, thank you. He said, because I was thinking fast. This is what he was doing. Just because God said, just let him on my mind, and you go. See, when people get on your mind, you know, they need. Now, he wasn't really alone, but his wife wasn't there. He was home alone, but his wife was, I don't know where she was, somewhere, working or somewhere. I don't know where she was. But anyway, he needed help right then, you see. And sometimes people need help right then. So if there's someone that knows you or know somebody and God put them on your heart, try to contact them because they are alone at the time and they need you. You see what I'm saying? And I believe that pastors ought to be sensitive and the prayer warriors ought to be sensitive. Somebody ought to be sensitive and be discerning so that they can know when the members are sick, when they know that the members are going through something, they need some help, quick, fast, and in a hurry. That means you are not alone because God has somebody tuned into you that they can come there and rescue you. Do you see what I'm saying? That's always what we need, to be with somebody. Don't get so alone. I'm the island. You got an island, ain't nothing on it but some trees. Ain't nothing else on it. There ain't no fruit on the tree. Huh? You see what I'm saying? Now, you get marooned on that island. What happened? You get marooned on the island. You ain't got nothing here. What do you eat, the green leaves? You just eat the leaves, right? I guess you are, because ain't nothing else to eat. Okay? You're alone. You want to be alone? There you are, alone. Okay? Now, sometimes God puts you alone for a reason to talk to you. Okay? But he doesn't leave you that way, do he? He don't leave you there. Now, you got a vision. Now, let me show you this. You got a vision, right? The man that have a vision cannot work the vision alone. Do you see? You cannot work that vision alone. You need help. Huh? Every leader that spoke, if you're a leader and you ain't got nobody, talking about you alone and you're a leader, what you leading? Or who you leading? If you're alone, come on, talk to me now. Tell me the truth about that. Who you leading? You ain't got nothing to lead. So I wouldn't call you a leader because you ain't got nothing to lead, do you? Hello. So God told him, this is what God was telling Moses to do. And the Lord said unto Moses, gather unto me. And after Moses was having him a little pity party too, wasn't he? He was being stressed out, and so he was acting like it too, right? You know you talk to God like that. I know you do. Yes, you do. You will talk to God and tell God that, listen to these people ain't like I bought them in the world. You know you talk to him like that. You say, I don't talk to God like that. Yes, you do. Because you, at that time, you were stressed out. You all stressed out with all them people putting their problems on you, right? And you say, I can't take all these problems. I'm not able. I'm just one person.
You know, and I believe sometimes this is what happens to some pastors when people say, listen now, when people say that the pastor don't have nobody to vent to. Well, now, if you think everybody going to steal your members, which they are not yours anyway, if you think that you're going to do it by yourself and you don't want to talk to nobody, now, it's a toss-up whether they're going to spread it around or not. And then, too, that is the human nature's people run their mouth, okay? That's what they got, a mouth, and sometimes they run it wrong, okay? They talk to the wrong people. But after all said and done, not to be alone, you need somebody to vent your frustration out, talk to about these things, then find somebody, get somebody. Now, you'll know if you trust them after you tell them something. Tell them one thing and see how far it goes. See if it's going to get wherever. Where you don't want it to go. Then you know not to talk to them no more, right? I tell you, you got to try it, you see? But don't go around here with all this frustration. These people are frustrated. You want people to think your church and everything is perfect. See, that's your problem. That pride going to kill you or make you kill yourself because you are frustrated. You say, well, who am I going to vent to? Who am I going to talk to my problem? Well, maybe you may have a little problem at home or something. You still need to have somebody that you can talk to. Don't carry it alone. If you don't want to talk to God about it, then you don't want to listen to him when he gives you an answer. He tell you to go talk to Pastor Doolittle over there. No, I don't talk to him. He may tell my story. He may tell about I have a problem with my wife. So you got a problem with your wife. How you going to solve that problem? You can't. You don't want to trust God. You don't want to trust God's man or woman. Huh? Sure, it's a toss-up what kind they are. You should know if they've been talking about somebody else, they're going to talk about you. You already know that. But now, if you never heard anything come out that pastor or whoever mouth about nobody, you know you can trust them kind of. You wouldn't mind trying to put a little trust. But don't run around with all this stuff bottled up in you and you and your family's having it and you need to talk. She need to talk to somebody. You need to talk to somebody. Go talk to somebody. See, this is why they tell you to have a covering. So you're supposed to be able to talk to your covering, relate to your covering, whoever your covering is, should relate to them, talk to them about your problem so that it doesn't stress you out and you do something dumb. This is why he don't want you alone. The other one helped the other one, see? You always need someone to help you, and you help someone else, and the beat goes on. It's like a chain. Each person helps the other person. Huh? Do you see what I'm trying to get you? You don't have to do it alone. Now, if God was concerned about Adam being alone, he's concerned about you being alone. Do you see? Now, I know there's so many women out here looking for husbands. I know. But you stop looking and let God send the man, you know, there's a man just looking for you. If you be prepared, keep yourself in the way you should be for that man to find you. And I told these women and all the women come through my church, I just tell them this here. If he see you working for God, remember Ruth and Naomi? Remember that situation? Well, where was Ruth at? She was out there working, wasn't she? She was a diligent worker. She didn't bother nobody. She just went up there and she worked. And he noticed it. He found her. Huh? She was in the right place at the right time. Huh? Because, well, now you got to understand, her and her mother-in-law kind of set that up, you know? that's that old wisdom. That's the old wisdom, okay? She told her how to do it. So I'm the mother now, I'm Naomi, and I'm trying to set you young ladies up that want one, looking for one, not somebody else's husband, but your own, okay? So wisdom is let him find you working for the Lord, diligently for the Lord. Now, you know, I believe even what's the name, the Princess of Sussex, what is that woman name? Whatever name, Meghan Markle. Yeah, I believe that Harry seen her working and working in some of the fields that his mother was working, and I think that kind of got him a lot. Okay. She got her a princess just by doing what? Working. She was not lollygagging, playing, trying to look sexy and throwing her body parts all over the place and cigarette hanging out of mouth and a bill hanging out the other side. She wasn't doing all that stuff, cussing and carrying on. Do you see what I'm saying? Let him find you, and then you won't be alone no more. Amen. I heard him say, I'm tired of being alone. Do you go to church and get involved in the services in church and doing in church, take on something? Then you won't be alone, will you? I tell you one secret of what I found out. If you call yourself dating, stop dating alone and go out in a group. And that's what I was doing for the past 25 years was what I was doing. I go in a group. I ain't going out there with nobody alone. See what I'm saying? Because you'll never say nothing about me. Well, she said I wasn't dating. I guess I wasn't dating. But when I go out with, you know, men, they're single men be in the group, and, you know, they be trying to talk to you now. They do be trying to talk to you. I ain't gonna lie. They did try to talk, but I just wasn't listening. That's all. Yeah. I just wasn't listening. I didn't call it a date. Yeah, see, that's right, Sister Diane. It wasn't a date. Okay, praise God. We were just out. Everybody was out, you know, and some of them just happened to be, you know, single and all, but I ain't going nowhere with them. Praise the Lord, because I don't want you to be talking. See, talking about I was going with so-and-so. You lying if you do, because you ain't never seen me with nobody. You see? And all. And I don't like nobody come to my house. Amen. I didn't like company. You see? So I'm a peculiar person. I'm sorry, y'all. I'm a peculiar person. All right. But, you see, it came down to it in the 17th verse. Didn't that where I left off? Praise God. I'm going to go to 17th. And I will come down and talk with thee there. And I will take of the spirit which is upon thee and will put it upon them, and they shall bear the burden of the people with thee, that thou bear it not thyself alone. He gonna give you help. Would y'all believe that? God is going to give you help. And the church, listen, if God called you, he going to give you somebody. Huh? You seen bishops that don't have a church? Huh? You see pastors that don't have a church, a member, not even one member, but they pastors? Huh? Now, when we just think a person got some pastor spirit, you know, we would call them that. But they don't take it as the runoff and get them some papers talking about I'm a pastor. Yay, here, I'm a pastor. You ain't got to do all that, you know. And this person don't do all that, you know. This person I know don't do all that. And they prefer you not to say that. Call them that, too. Now, that is admirable of them. To do that,
but the other stuff is on us. Praise God. The rest of it is on us because we just feel that they, you know, they have those attributes, okay? Mm-hmm. But here is a man that God has had to call about 70 men, and he told him what to do. So that now he, that's a lot. That's a lot of help. 70 people. That's a lot of help. When God was gonna give Moses, he said, "Go get him. I'm gonna put my spirit, your spirit, upon him." I thought at first he said, "My spirit," huh? But he said, let me go to 17th again. "And I will come down and talk with thee there, and I will take of that of the spirit which is upon thee," that's his spirit, Moses' spirit, "and will put it upon them," you see, "and they shall bear the burden of the people with thee." Ah, they're going to feel what he's going through. You see what I'm saying? Mm-hmm. And did you know that God has people feeling the spirit that you go through? Huh? That spirit that you have, you go, somebody else got it, and they feel what you the burdens that you bury. Hmm? Did you know that? Have you ever thought about that? No, you don't think about that too much. But it is happening. And you're not by yourself, are you? Hmm? You're not by yourself? No, you ain't by yourself. Huh? If you make a garden, the garden don't have one rose sitting up in it, do it? Nope. Okay. The church don't need no one thing sitting up in it. Hmm? One member. All right. He gave you the together, a unit. He say, two or three gathered in my name. That's the unit. Huh? He say, now, I will be there. Do you see what I'm saying? If you just, that's all you got, you bring them two or three into the kingdom. Huh? He give you somebodies to bring into the kingdom. Two or three. I'll be in the midst. Hmm? Do you get it? Does that sound like you're alone? That does not sound like you're alone. You don't have to do it alone. You don't have to do it alone. God is able to take you through anything. Amen. If he called you, he called us. And then he called us to unite together, fellowship. Why do you think a lot of places in the Bible he called us into fellowship? Fellowship one ye with another, huh? So that we won't be alone. We won't be lonely. We won't be hungry, because if we not alone, somebody in the bunch going to feed you. Hello? See? Amen. Somebody in a bunch of feed you. I'm quite sure everybody ain't stingy. Huh? Somebody gonna feed you. Now they gonna give you some of what they got. Or they'll go and buy you something to eat. Now amen. When we was witnessing in the bad parts of Miami, we was out there in the park, where the drug addicts and everything else was going on, and we happened to be there in the evening time, too. Dust was falling, and we out there just witnessing and passing out tracts and talking to the people around, all the people come to the park. And they come to my, you know, they love to play on you, too. "Well, can you give me some money to buy some food?" Hmm? And I just tell them this, "Well, I tell you what, I'm going to go over there to that restaurant and get you a sandwich. What kind you want?" And a soda. That's what I'm going to do. I'm not going to give you no money, okay, because I know where you're going with it. No, I ain't going there. I'm going to buy some food." I said, "Nah, I done been through that before." I said, "You want the sandwich? If you don't worry about it. I ain't going to give you nothing then, okay?" You say, "Why are you like that?" Well, listen, let's understand. I have to use wisdom in everything I do. Okay? I know that they're going to go buy drinks, some beer, some wine, some MD40 or whatever that name is. 2020. Oh, 2020. I'm sorry. Showed you I'm not a.
You go on. voice.
Shows that I'm not a drinker. I'm not a drinker,
yeah,
but
drink
they going to get that little cheap wine.
Yes,
that's the first
that's
thing they're going to do. See, going to get it. And I know that's what they do because I did street ministry for over 15 years. Okay, so I know that's what they do. And I go to state to state and do street ministry. This was one thing I used to do all that long time. And you get to know how they operate, you see. So, listen, I got some money. I go buy you a sandwich. You know, this is what I said to her. Hey, go over there and get him a sandwich over there. Get her a sandwich right there and a soda. Give him something to drink along with it. You want a soda? I ain't getting no beer. Don't buy beer. Praise God. Amen. This is the way you do these things, you understand? Because you're trying to help them. Let them know somebody care about you. You see? And I care. See, I like to show people that I care. If they don't have no clothes, I go in my closet, find something. What size are you? I see if I got something in here to fit you. I know I do somewhere. Something in my closet fits somebody. See what I'm saying? Because sometimes I get stuff from the store and I say, why did I buy that? I can't even wear that. And what happened is somebody that need it, then I go in there and take it out and give it to them. Like that. And I know I used to visit people that are alone, older people. Most of them was older people. I ain't went to no young people because they don't be alone. You know, some older people be alone. I found the lady over in Okeechobee, Florida. God said, go to Okeechobee. I went there, didn't know nobody. And I was there, you know, walking around, talking to people and stuff like that. Had my tracks passing my. And this one lady was in the house over there, just sitting, and I said, good evening. And she said, hi, how are you? I said, can I talk to you? I said, oh, I'm talking about the Lord. Can I talk to you? And she said, yeah, I went in there. And would you believe I had bought some stuff from Avon Products and put in that car? It was in my back of my car. It wasn't in my house. It was in the back of my car. And I went in and I said, can I help you? She said, well, I can't. I'm too big. And I can't get down to my feet and stuff to wash it. And, you know, I need something to get my back and everything. I said, you kidding? I said, hold it just a minute. I went out in the car and I had bought a bath brush with a long handle. And that was just what that lady needed. And she said, how you know to bring that? I said, I don't know, God knows. I just threw it in the car. You know, I say I'm just throwing these things in the car. And drove from where I was, Miami, I think I was, and drove to Okeechobee. Just because God said so, you see. And she needed it. She was alone, and there was nobody go to the store to get it, and she just sit there waiting for somebody to come by to the door, waiting for somebody to come by. And God sent me by for her. And I talked to her, you know, a long while about the Lord and kept her company because she was by herself. I kept her company. I wanted to know, well, stuff, how you going, you know, how you get food? How you get, somebody will bring me some after a while. Somebody will bring me some. So that means what? God was working for and she was just waiting, depending on God. People are depending on you. Do you see? Now, I'm not going to say I don't be sick a lot of times, but I be sick. I don't wait for people to do nothing for me. Well, now I do. I don't wait for people to do nothing for me. I was sick and go right on and still help people. That's what I was doing, you see. But I didn't say nothing to them. I got joy doing things for God. And knowing that people that was alone needed help. And here I am to help them. I'm the other partner that they need at the time. Do you see? You are somebody's partner right now. Stop trying to do it by yourself. You can't do it by yourself. Huh? And let me tell you, I couldn't depend on my family. Okay? I never could be my. I said, God, I don't like to be by myself. But did I try to get people to go with me to the jails and visit the people in jail? And thought people talking about, no, they scared. I said, what is you scared of? You know, they don't want to go to the hospital to visit nobody. I had never seen a bunch of saints so scary. Now, those things I did have to do, and I did it for 15 years by myself. Didn't want to, but I had no choice because I'm determined to work for the Lord. I'm determined to do something for God, okay, not to let the vision die. And I'm determined now not to let the vision die. Did you hear me? I am determined right now not to let it die. Just because of that, the dreams I have, for to do things for the Lord. And when I do things for the Lord, that means I'm a not be alone because I got to do them with somebody else. How you going to witness to who? The air? You need a person, don't you? With a heart, a mind, and a body and everything, that ears that they can listen. See, that's, you're still not alone, right? We need one another. We need one another. See, how are we going to get the vision fulfilled if we don't have somebody? Would you tell me? Do anybody know that? Now, if you know how to do it without somebody, let me know, because I don't know. You see, I want to succeed in Christ, so I need somebody to help me get the vision going. And even the devil know he needs help, don't you? And you know what? He got a bunch of demons helping him. See, he ain't doing it by himself. He got demons doing his job, doing his work. Now, what you going to do about that? Hallelujah. You can do what you can do. But in the end, you need somebody else, That Adamic nature need help. See, if Adam needed help, that means every man that is not born again got the first Adam nature. We are in his image and in his likeness. Do you get it? That's where we are. We need some help. We are alone, and God see that. Your nature is alone. Okay? Praise God. Hallelujah. Save me and somebody. So we got to get this vision to come to fruition. We got to get it. And the power that it takes to operate it. Somebody got to do something. There's a whole lot to go along there, but I'm going to leave some up to somebody. Mike, you want to say, where you at?
Right.
Hello.
I shouldn't say where you at. Where are you?
Praise the Lord. Praise the Lord. We thank the Lord for that word from Apostle. And you know, I was sitting there thinking, when she first started out, when they said the people complained, and the first thing I thought about was the old Popeye commercial, the old Popeye cartoon, where Wimpy complained about a hamburger. And he wanted a hamburger. Would you buy me a hamburger and I'll gladly pay you on Tuesday? Yeah. And I thought about that, and he always did. Then Popeye had Olive Oil complaining and whining all the time about something, or somebody was trying to, Brutus was trying to get us something. You know. Then it was Sweet Pea, who always was into something. You know, so you have to look that things happen around you and they come at you. And this is what Moses was going through. He was the leader. Popeye was the leader. But things were always coming at him. People was always complaining. People was always in need of something. They always needed something. So Moses had to be their benefactor. He had to be their psychiatrist. He had to be the man who rocked them to sleep, so to speak, because of the fact that the matter is, this is how bad they got. Now, everything God did for these people, now, you got to understand, if we were in that position today, would we complain? And we seen God, and we seen all these miracles. God brought us through this and that. Would we complain? You know, because we complaining now. All you got to do is look at them people over in Africa and all these third world countries. We ain't got nothing really to complain about. We ain't got nothing to complain about. Be perfectly honest. We do have a few people who need food. Yes, true enough. But you got people out there that's feeding them once or twice a week anyway. You know, so you can't say they starving the 7 days a week. They might be hungry a few days, but they can't say they starving all the time because somebody is always feeding, because somebody is always feeding somewhere. You know, the problem is getting there. Sometimes the problem getting there, sometimes the people do come to you. But you got to understand that when we sit up there and we complain about the littlest things, And I was thinking about myself, and I ain't going to tell you no lie. I was thinking about myself as Pastor was talking. And I was thinking that I was always saying things about how I feel. That I heard here, I heard there, and all this. I'd be whining to the hill. And then I looked at Deacon with it the other day. And I thought about my daughter, Crystal, with cancer. And I say, here's two people I know that's worse than me. And it made me think that I didn't have, no, you didn't say Crystal, and I didn't have it that bad. And that as I thought I did, I think I do. Now, I'm not going to tell you that I don't have a little stuff go on here and there, but I'll never complain about it no more. You know. I'll talk to God about it before I say anything to anybody else.
Hallelujah.
So that's why ain't nobody heard me say nothing lately. I even put my little walking stick down sometime until I actually do need it. You know, because I was kind of dependent on it for a little while. But I've thought about it because, like I say, when I looked at them two and I listened to them two and I feel like they was worse off than me, and I'd pray for them and cry about them because they close to me.
Amen.
And I have to say that this old guy here ain't finna do that no more to nobody. You know, because there's always somebody off that's worse than you. And that make you think and that make you wonder. You know, a lot of times we sit up there and complain about we don't have any money. But do you got a roof over your head?
Mm-hmm.
You do have a loaf of bread in your house. If not, you can always go to one of these thrift stores and they give you some food and some
bread.
They have plenty of bread in there. That's one thing they ain't a lot of. You know, they have bread and cakes and pies and all that. Might be a little outdated, but who cares? It's something to eat.
That's right. And they'll give it to you,
and at least ain't no mold on it. Okay. You ain't got to worry about that penicillin. But, you know, people always complaining and whining about something. You know, it is either the weather too hot, too cold, or it's too much rain. We ain't satisfied with now one of them that come. But the world needs all of this. We need it all. The thing about it is we need the sunshine.
Mm-hmm.
We need the rain to probably wash away a whole lot of stuff. We need all of this. We need it because the world wouldn't function without all of these things. You know, but we got to pray for one another and understand that life always is a journey. We always have these different journeys that we have to go through, that we have to come through. Like, it took me a while before I had to stop whining and complaining. And, you know, it took me a little bit for that one. You know, but, you know, once I seen this and I understood, to put it this way, the plight of my ways, on that. But that's what sometimes it takes these things for us to wake up.
Yes.
For us to see.
Amen.
Ourselves and other people. But people don't seem to take heed or none of this stuff, because we can see ourselves and hear ourselves and other people if we listen.
Yeah, true.
And keep our eyes open.
Mm-hmm.
But if we close minded, don't want to hear nothing, can't nobody tell you nothing, and we just gonna whine. We just gonna go on and on and on and on. And you wonder why people don't want to be around you. because don't nobody want to hear you. Don't nobody want to hear you crying like a box of Cracker Jacks. You know, but that's what it's all about. That's what we got to think about and we got to look at. You know, people don't want to hear you cry. And I thought about it. I used to tell one of my friends who used to do that all the time, I said, do you want me to bring some wine to your party and some crackers and cheese? Because you sure going on it. You know, and that's what it is, you know. And then he had to think about it, you know. And here I am getting up there and I'm doing the same thing. You know, it makes you wonder, you know, when you look back and you think about these things,
mm-hmm.
that, God, you done delivered me from that one,
on,
you know, right. And you got to thank God for it, but God had to show you someone else
mm-hmm.
to do it.
Yes.
But it is something that you probably have to go through. You don't necessarily have to go through that part. But you got to understand where you're at and what you're doing.
Mm-hmm.
And you got to hear yourself sometimes.
Mm-hmm.
But if you don't hear yourself, you're just going to go on and repeat the process. That's going to be always going on with you. Okay? Is someone on there?
Yeah.
Go ahead.
Good morning, Apostle. Good morning. Good morning, everybody. This is Diana Dungy, and I am blessed and standing. I don't know if I have a question, but, you know, Apostle was talking about the single life and being alone, and I've had this conversation with a lot of single ladies. Like Apostle said, there's a lot of women out there looking for husbands, and a lot of women are going to these dating service and all this online dating. Now, my view of it is, the word says a man to find a wife finds a good thing.
Yeah.
But then people say, well, how are he going to find you if you don't put yourself out there? So my question to you, Apostle, is it wrong for women to go on these dating sites looking for a husband or a mate?
My opinion is, it's wrong. How he going to find you? You finding him. You know, where you don't know what you're getting from them dating services, okay? Because they got some live wives on there, some people that are killing people and mutilating them in every way they can. You ain't finding nothing. They finding you. No, then you run
exactly.
over to see them. Then you run to their state, city, or wherever they are to meet them. So who's finding who? See, it's wrong. I believe it's wrong. You know, Joseph didn't have to run off nobody and find Mary. You know, God had Mary in place for him. Okay.
Already, I had a friend, and she was. She was on all of them, and she was meeting all these men. And so I said, let me go on there, and, you know, I just wanted to peek and see what the guys look like. I didn't want to sign up or anything. But you have to, in order to even take a look, you have to put your name in there. So I said, okay, well, I'm going to put my name in, then I'm going to delete it real quick after I take a look around. And, those people called me, and they said, you didn't finish out your registration. I said, I didn't intend to. They said, well, are you single? And it was a Christian dating site. And I said, and she said, well, are you single? And I said, no. I said, I'm married to Jesus. And she's like, well, then you're single then. Well, I don't understand why you don't go on there and finish what you started. I said, because the word says a woman, a man to find a wife, find a good thing. That woman got so mad at me. She called me names, told me that I was stupid. I mean, and this was a Christian fight. But she was so angry. And she told me that I was ignorant, that I didn't know the word, and I didn't know what I was doing. I said, you know what? You are entitled to your own opinion, and I thank you, and please do not call my number again.
Listen, a lot of people use the name Christian just to get the people to call, you know, get the people to call. They use that. So I heard some churches having that too, have that dating service. You know, that's what I heard. A church. Yeah.
They're supposed to have singles night, but it turned into dating services.
Well, this church have a dating site, and they have singles, and they have them registered too.
I know the people.
Okay. And the pastor's single too. Okay. All right. So we doing some crazy stuff, but I'm not gonna take and mutilate the Bible just to get no man. You know, tear up the Bible and tear the parts up out that I don't like. You know. Because I want a man. You know, it ain't worth getting the money. It ain't worth going to hell for. You know, I'd rather be on the safe side. Let him find me. Because I stopped looking after I found out I don't make good choices. I stopped looking and I told him. I say, God, if you don't give it to him, I don't have one. I'll just be with you the rest of my day. And I say, because I'd like to have one, but I ain't looking no more. I said, because he said, he that found a wife found a good thing, and I'm out there looking, putting myself in his place, and then I end up getting these mango seeds, you know. These raggedy ones every time, because I'm looking, you see. Then you wonder why you got a man beating you on the head and cussing you out and everything, because you looked and you got it. That's what you chose, you know. So I don't believe in doing it. I don't believe it. We ought to go on them sites, you know. They do it because they're desperate. I think they're desperate. You know, women are desperate. And for loneliness. Loneliness makes them desperate. Okay, because somebody's always whispering here, you ought to get you a man. You need a boyfriend. Ain't nothing in the Bible say I need a boyfriend. I ain't saw it. If I did, some of y'all please send that to me, because I don't know about you know, I need a boyfriend. I need Jesus. Yes, that's what we need. I like what you said. You need Jesus. Okay, that's what I think. So what about you? But Diane ain't got no opinion, so we ain't
asking. I ain't got nothing.
Yeah, we can't ask her, Apostle.
Michael, do you think a woman ought to go looking for a man?
No.
Huh?
No.
Okay, there's another opinion. He say no. How about the dating site?
No.
Okay.
I tell you about the dating site. They had a young man that started in New York, murdered one woman, then went to California and tried, and all across the country he was murdering and trying to kill women. One woman got away and he got caught.
Mm-hmm.
They're coming from a dating site.
Because I know these dating sites can be wicked. All right, there's our sound. It's time to. We always going. We just have fun. We be having so much fun. We go all the way. Okay, we are getting ready to close until tomorrow. We can continue on tomorrow if you want to go with these type of this conversation. Praise God. Praise the Lord, praise the Lord. That is an awesome word coming from Apostle Porter, Deacon Michael, and let us not forget, yep, Pastor Dungy. I tell you, some awesome listening. If you don't find joy in the word, I just don't know. I don't know.
I'm just enjoying myself. I'm having me a good Jesus-filled time today, thanking God for the laughter in all this and thanking God for you all that are listening. So you know what? Tune in tomorrow at 9 a.m. Eastern Standard Time. Friend, and give them that number. You can go to blogtalkradio.com/time to talk about it, and you can listen to each and every segment that Apostle Porter put out there. She's been out there from since 2009. So you know it's some awesome word that's coming forth. So tune in tomorrow at 9 a.m. Eastern Standard Time. Till then, be blessed, be blessed.
On my mind, searching for that peace, the peace I could not find. Then I kneel down to pray, pray, help me please. Then he said, you don't have to cry, 'cause I'll supply all your needs.
As soon as I stop worrying,
I stop worrying,
worrying how the story ends.
When I let go,
I let go. When
I let
God,
let him have,
let God have his
way. That's when things start happening.
I stop looking at back then.
When I let go,
I let go. When
I
let God,
let him have. So much going on, sometimes I can't find my way, and oftentimes I struggle from day to day. I have to realize that it's not my battle, it's not my battle to fight. I have to know if I put it in his hands, everything would be alright, yeah.
As
soon as I stop worrying,
worrying how the story is,
I can let go.
I let go when
I can let God. Let him have,
let God have
his way. That's
when things
start happening. Let go, let God, oh, let go, and let God, let go, and let God, my brother, let go, and let God, my sister, you can't handle it, let God.